Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live, Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahweh's Radio. Is now on the air. I'll be your host by name, your Seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Coming to Exile, the Biblical Scholarly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, from the east, and they end up in the west, because the children of Israel are supposed to be either in the west or the east. If any other land they be in, if you get out that musical carol, that musical carol says you got 12 and 13 peoples. When that music stops, somebody's not going to have a seat. So if you're not in the land that you're supposed to be in, that where Yahweh has deeded to you, and it's time for him to make his move, the traps have been set, and you're not where you're supposed to be at, then Yahweh's going, all the fulfillment of them scriptures will come to pass on you. And another thing, about our health again. I got a lot of memos, a lot of calls in based upon our health. Like we keep saying, listen, first thing, you got to keep your Yahweh first. You got to keep the YHWH man first and understand one thing. Then you got to eliminate the king's meat to get your health, to get your system back working properly. You got to go cold turkey on the king's meat. You got to put a chicken, his hog, and his cow down for the first 90 days. You got to do some exercise and drink at least a half a gallon of water. You keep flushing all them toxins out your body. You got to have your Yahweh first, put the king's meat down, and eat that green food with a lot of corn. Corn is a standing corn. It is a blood purifier. So when you put that in your system, within 90 days, you'll start seeing your system start to change. You'll start feeling a little bit looser because you get rid of all that toxic waste that's been built up from you from eating chicken, hog, and cow. Now, if you eat green food with your corn and put some black-eyed peas with it, sweet potatoes, you can use that every now and then, won't you? It's good. And remember 11 verse 5 in the book of Numbers, a full course meal. You do that for 90 days. Exercise, you got to say Yahuwah first. You'll see a difference in your body. Your body will start healing. As long as you got to say Yahuwah first now. Remember, it can't work without Yahuwah first. So you can come another way and don't have your Yahuwah. Again, all of a sudden, you want to know what happened. So Yahuwah must play a pivotal role for him to recognize you doing things the way he wants you to do it. All right? Got it? Good. And remember, the feast day is only days away. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that and whatever Yahuwah gives us. So we see if we got one of our elders on the broadcast. He's ready to get in there and get in where he fit in at. So we're going to bring him in and we'll get something going on take number 32. Today's date is 4/7/2024. We're going to bring our elder in. We'll get something going on take number 32. So when you meet our elder, Yahdah Israel, with a loud voice, you say, Elder Yahdah Israel, Yahdah Israel, Yahdah Israel, Yahdah Israel.
Yeah, God bless you, see Israel. I see Royal. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right. So I am. So yeah, we're going to get something going on. And we know that feast day is only days away. And we got to lay that in. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what that say there, Elder.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. And at the same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's a great thing. So we do know this feast day is coming up. And we have to be clear that Apostle Paul, he made a profound statement there, Elder. He said something that we need to kind of pick an eyeball, look at. Apostle Paul said something in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts pertaining to when it comes down to feast days. Although he was teaching all the northern kingdom where he found them at, all of a sudden something hidden to make this statement right here in 18 verse 19 on verse 21. So something hit old Apostle Paul, and then he made a profound statement to the Ephesians, which is called a branch of Israelites that was scattered. And let's see what he says in 18 chapter verse 19 down to verse 21. What he said here?
The book of Acts chapter 18. Verse number 19 through 21 reads, Look at Acts 18, verse 19. He came to Ephesus and left them there. He himself entered into the temple and reasoned with Yahdah Judah. Verse number 20. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast. They cometh in Yahdah Judah. But I will return again unto you, if Yahuwah will, and he sailed from Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. So he knew that alarm, that understanding of scriptures went off in his head. Then he said, wait a minute, according to these scriptures, I got to make sure I'm in line with this feast day. So that feast day, this feast day, now we got to get a timeline on this feast day. Even if you is in a journey or whatever. So in the book of Joshua there, Elder, because what happened, they got away from, they got out of the land and Joshua taking over. And Joshua taking over. So let's see. Matter of fact, we might read that in Deuteronomy. Let's read a little bit of that when Joshua was taken over. So Joshua, he was taken over because Yahuwah told him something. He said something to him. Let's get a precept on that. What did he say to Joshua? Let's go look at the book of Joshua, book of Hosea, chapter 1. Let's see what we'll say that we can read. Let's see what he says in verse 1 down to verse 3. What he said between 1, 2, and 3, Joshua, chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. What he said to him?
The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads. After the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the family of Israel. Verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Mm-hmm. You see that? And he used that word twice, you. So Hosea gonna take over for Moses. And so now, when Yahweh make a statement now with children of Israel, he gonna look at you. You. Who? Joshua. And what he tell Joshua in verse number 8, Dale?
The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Verse number 8 reads, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Mm-hmm. And then, when he got all that good information, and what did he start doing in verse 10? And what did he do in verse 10, El?
Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officer of the people, saying.
You see that? So he knew the mandate was on him. So he said he commanded the officers. Let's get this thing together now. And what did he say to them in verse 13?
Verse number 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, saying, Yahweh, your Yahweh, have given you rest and have given you this land.
Mm-hmm. So the talk was straight up, and then let's see what happened with the people when they heard it like that. And now he had them close his mouth. And the people that gave him a comeback, let's find the kind of comeback they gave him once he laid it out exactly that Yahweh had put him in place to take the children of Israel to another level. 16 to 18, what happened next, Elder?
Verse number 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do. Whatsoever thou sendest us, we will go. Verse 17. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only Yahweh be with you. And he was with Moses, as he was with Moses. Verse 15. Whosoever is it that doeth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words, how that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.
There's my test. So they go to order. So now our servant Moses is dead. Now Joshua taking over, and people understood that's the way it was. And all we both say in a case like that is 118:23. So what we say in a case like that in Psalms 118:23.
The book of Psalms 118, verse number 23 reads. Book of Psalms, chapter 118. Verse number 23. Psalms 118, verse 23 reads, this is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Excellent. So that's the hand of Yahweh was on this. So now Joshua takes over. And so now they are made it to outside of Israel. And that's even it says in the fifth chapter of Joshua, verse number six. What it says in verse number six. Let's see what we can read in the book of Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. What is that, Elmer?
Book of Joshua chapter 5, verse number 6 reads, Book of Joshua 5, verse number 6 reads, For the family of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, and all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yahweh until whom Yahweh sware that he would not show them the land, which Yahweh sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. And verse number 9 and 10 says what else?
Verse number 9. The book of Joshua 1. Verse number 9 reads, And Yahweh said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse number 10. And the family of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho.
You see that? You see that? So now, Yahweh said, I'll roll back your reproach. And now, they outside of Egypt. So they kept that Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the plains of Jericho. So there you go right there. So that Passover, and that Passover is coming again, and you do that Passover according to 13 verse 10 there, Elder, Exodus. So how you do the Passover according to 13 verse 10? Then kick up to verse 4.
The book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse number 10. Verse number 4 reads, Book of Exodus 13, verse number 10 reads, Exodus 13, verse 10, Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. Verse number 4, This day came you out in the month Abib.
Mm-hmm. So you do it the way the man tell you to do it, and that's all you can go on. When the man gives you instructions about how to do what he wants you to do, just take heed on what he's saying. That's the game changer right there. So I know a lot of camps, they all over the place on the Passover. They do a lot of things based upon the moons and whatever. But when you look at these scriptures, it tells us plainly in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, what we should do. According to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. What is that held in 8, verse 3 of Deuteronomy?
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 reads. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 reads. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know. That man does not live by bread only, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh, the man lives.
Yeah, that's how man lives. So you find out if Yahweh has made a statement in his book, and you really ain't got the precept nothing when Yahweh made a statement in his book. That's just the way it is. Because it ain't his words. He'll tell you plainly, this is put a precept out of there, you know. He'll tell you plainly that what he's saying, and I'm struggling right now in the book of St. John, 17 chapter. He makes it plain that what he's working with, that, but we got to understand something. He made it plain with the peoples what he was working with, you know, about the old seer. He's struggling right now on looking at exactly what he says. He made a profound statement on about what he's working with. See, he says something on what he's working with. We're going to find out what he says around, what, the seventh chapter? What did he say in verse 17, Ayo? Thank you very much. Let's see what he said in verse 17, 18. What did he say that we can read?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse number 17 and 18 reads, St. John, chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will.
Hold on, pick up the verse 16. Let's make a little needle out of it. Let's pick up the verse 16 and make it sound good. Verse 16 down to 18.
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 16 through 18 reads, Book of St. John 7, verse number 16. Yahweh the Son answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 17. If any man would do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Yahweh the Father, or whether I speak of myself. Verse 18. He that speaketh of himself, speaketh of his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.
Mm-hmm. So he said, bottom line, he said, what I'm putting on tape, it ain't got nothing to do with me. Now these y'all tell me, but they, what did they do to make him make that statement at Elder? What did they do in verse 12? Let's see what they did to make him to say what he said in verse 12.
The book of St. John 7, verse number 12 reads, There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people.
So you're always going to have that. So you're always going to have that. If they done Yahweh the Son, look forth them to do you that way. So, and that's what happened with Moses. If Moses, people weighing him down. And he knew that people supposed to understood it, but they didn't understand. So Moses, and Yahweh told Moses, go there and talk to the rock and show my power. And Moses will let smoke the rock. He said, for that, Moses, you're not getting into the kingdom. But then, he's not fired to Moses. And Moses, all that great stuff Moses did was he said, look here. Go up on Mount Peor and look over. I'm going to strengthen your eyes so you can see all the way over to the land of Canaan, which is going to be Israel. But you ain't going in it because you didn't sanctify me when you was on the clock. That's a game changer right there. So when it get hot and heavy, we'll be able to sanctify Yahweh when it's hot and heavy. It is right there. So they murmured. That's why he said, look here. This teaching ain't mine. He said, Yahweh the one gave me this thing. I got his book in Revelation 5. I read my part, and I'm playing my part. That same thing that those seers saying, too. I look at this book and see what this book's saying, and I'm going to stick with it all the way in on what this book is saying, no doubt about it. So now, let's get a precept on that. Let's go to the 12th chapter and look at verse 46. And we see Mother Esau, look here. See, I'm going to have that microphone a little bit too, so cap me in the broadcast, and no doubt about it, we'll do shortly. So now, Elder, in the 12th chapter of the book of St. John, Yahweh made a profound statement in verse 46. He says something. And 12:46. And we're gonna take it on down to verse 50 to get a second witness on what he's trying to tell you about where he's staying at. St. John, chapter 12, 46 down to verse 50. The Elder Yahdai Israel delivered.
The book of St. John, chapter 12, verse 46 to 50 reads. St. John, chapter 12, verse 46. And come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Verse 14. And if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48. He that rejected me and received not my words, and one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him. in the last day. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as your brother Father said unto me, so I speak.
So he talks some good talk. He said, I didn't come to judge the world. I come to jump off in the world to get this thing straight. But now we got a precept there to find out what world did he come to jumpstart and to get it straight. And then after we hear this, then we'll make a comment on what he just said. So now let's find out what world, because religious leaders that was paid upon a Herod, they haven't received the suitcase of money. They got their pockets all looking good, skinning and grinning. And the high priest asked him something. The high priest asked him something in the 18th chapter. He asked him something. And we're going to find what the high priest asked him in the 18th chapter, verse 19. He said something, then Yahweh let him bump his gums a little bit, then he responded to him. Let's see what's going on, that we can read in 18 chapter verse 19 and down to verse 20. Let's start, take it down to verse 21, make it sound good. Come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 18, verse number 19 to 20 reads. Book of St. John, 18, verse 19. The high priest then asked Yahweh the son of his disciples and of his doctrine. Verse number 20. Yahweh the son answered him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the temple, and in the temple where Yahweh Judah always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Verse 21. Why ask you me? Ask them which heard me. I have said unto them, behold, they know what I see.
Ain't that something? So you see, he said, look here. He said, I ain't saying nothing in secret. I mean, I had a mandate. I came to take care of one piece of business. It's jumpstart the children of Israel with the lead tribe, Judah, Levite, and Benjamin and Simeon. So I came to jumpstart them to get back on their job. So I ain't saying nothing in secret. Wherever I found them was at, I showed up over there to get them on their feet. That's what I did. They let me make it plain. Then he says, I spake open to the world. Now we're going to preach that and find out what world did he spoke openly to that we can read. And remember, when you preach after your Bible, you let the Bible tell you exactly what world in 45:17, what world did he come to jumpstart to get back on their job in 45:17 of the book of Isaiah? What is that ever?
Isaiah 45:17 reads, Isaiah 45:17, but Israel shall be saved in Yahweh. With an everlasting salvation, you shall not be ashamed nor confounded. World without end.
You see that? So the world he came to save, to put him back into the knowledge of the Father, was the world of Israel, the Israelites. He came to jumpstart them, and the tribe he picked to lead the way was the tribe of Judah. Judah is the lead tribe, and Judah is the one that have the mandate, even this day, to organize the 12 tribes of Israel again. So that 144,000 will be so many, 10,000, whatever, out of every tribe. But they all mission to do one thing, is to organize and bring back the children of Israel back in the hands of the Almighty. So that's a big task. That's a big task to do. But it's a big job. 144,000 the count been on what the seaman uttered? We don't know. All we know one thing, you watch the things in the pages of the book, that you know about the 144,000. So right now, they every direction, but they're going to present themselves, and you'll know them by the spirit of the book. You'll know because he's going to raise up everybody that was to take care of his business. You will know them by this book. That's how you're going to know them. It's pretty much in, make sure mother is ready to get in what she fit in, no doubt about it. So when you meet one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Yahweh bless you, Israel. Yahweh
bless you, Israel. I'll see you, Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excellent. So we clear that this feast day is coming up. And he gives us the opportunity to understand about this feast day. In the 9th chapter, he makes it plain about this feast day that's coming up. About a week from the day or somewhere in that area. He talks about this feast day, and just in case, you know, sometimes it slips to our mind because the world is not going to tell you. They're going to tell you, do what they're going to tell you. Hey, hold that point, Hill. Hey, Mother E, they're going to tell us about something over here in Acts chapter 12. See, this is what we're going to know more about Acts chapter 12 than the Passover. Because the world is going to show you Acts chapter 12. Mother, let's see what we can read in Acts chapter 12, Mother. Let's see, what can we read in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4? Let's see what we can read in Acts chapter 12, verse 4.
The book of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of the soldiers to keep him intended after Easter, bring him forth to the people.
You see that? So that's what we know about Easter. See, we know about Easter. See, we know about Easter, but we don't know that it was no such thing as no Easter. It's come from Ashtari, which is removing the Passover. So we know more about Easter. We know more about Easter just came up, but we know nothing about the Passover that the Bible describes you to keep. Not Easter, the Passover. Anytime you see something in the Bible one time, remember, Satan hands all over it. He allows Satan, hey, Marie, he allowed Satan to use one word in the book of Job. He lied. Before we go to the 9th chapter and bring our elder back in, he gave Satan something to work with. So you got to watch and see who talking. And Yahweh gave you a clue to how you know Satan is talking in the Bible. In the book of Job, he gave Satan a tool to work with, Mother. Let's see what that tool is he gave him to work with. He gave him a tool to work with. And Job chapter 2, he gave him a tool to work with, Mother. But, again, I don't see he's struggling right now. And make it the first chapter. This is a tool that Yahweh gave Job to work with. Satan. Let's see what happened in 1, verse number 17. Now, I tell you what, let's make it sound good for the national audience. Let's make it sound good, Mother. Let's see what did Yahweh say to Satan first in verse 12? Let you know Yahweh, he got his hand in everything. What did he say in verse 12? 1, verse 12. What did he say, Mother?
The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 12. And Yahweh said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. only upon himself, but not for thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh.
Now kick up the verse 11, mother. Kick up the verse 11.
Verse 11. But put forth thy hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face.
You see that? So you see that? So that's what it was. So he puts them on paper for Yahweh. So look at that. Put forth your hand, and I have him to curse you to your face. And Yahweh said, I tell you what, I'm on my servant Job. I'm gonna let you get at my servant Job getting real good, but just don't kill it. Just don't kill it. And I'm gonna give you something to work with. Verse 17.
Job chapter 1, verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also a mother and said, the children made three bands and fell upon the camel and have carried him away, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
So mother, I know you get suspicious. So now you see, Satan was giving a tool to work with a word called, we get a second witness, verse 19. What word that he will be able to work with according to verse 19?
And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smoothed the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Now, mother, you get the first shot at it, mother. What tool did Yahweh get Satan to work with? According to verse 17 and 19. What Satan was going to be working with?
Lies.
He's going to be the only one that can tell you about somebody in an arrow. I'm going to give him one tool to work with. So when somebody bring you something and they got no second witness, they got the, I only see this. I only come and tell you this. I only know. See, that's when you know that Satan talking. See, Satan will give him a tool to work with called I only. So Yahweh, in his book, we not get off into a period out of the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word of Yahweh be established. But he gave Satan a tool to work with. I only. I only have came to tell you these things. So that was Satan was working with. So when you hear that I only, then you know one thing, that's Satan working them out. So now let's go back to Elder in the ninth chapter of Numbers. We're going back to the ninth chapter of Numbers. And we'll think of the verse number one, because this Passover is getting closer. And let's find out more about this Passover, just in case we forget about it and slips our mind on the first time around. Matter of fact, in Leviticus 23, Elder, 1, 2, 3, down in verse, let's take it in Leviticus first, and then we'll come back to Numbers, because Yahweh, he told Moses to tell us somebody about this right here. One, in Leviticus 23, he was talking to Moses to remind a people we're getting ready to read about his feast. Let's give it to him, and 23, we'll pick up verse number 1 and take it down to verse 5. Leviticus 2 and 3, 1 down to verse 5. What does it say?
The book of Leviticus 23, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Book of Leviticus 23, verse number 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 2, speak unto the family of Israel, and say unto them, concern the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be a righteous congregation, a righteous assembly, even these are my feasts. Verse number 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A righteous convocation shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. Verse number 4, these are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous convocations, which you proclaim in their season. Verse number 5, in the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is Yahweh's Passover.
Mm-hmm. And that was getting ready to get into the first month of Abib at evening of the night of the 13th, which would be 14th, is Yahweh's Passover at evening. And what is he saying? We back up to 22 verse 1, Elder. Verse number 31 and 32. It's back up to 22. Let's see what he says in verse number 1, and we'll skip down to verse number 9. 31 and 32. Let's see what he says. 1, 9, 31, 32. What is that, Al?
The book of Leviticus.
Yeah, 22, verse 1. Back up, 1, 9, 31, and 32.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 1, verse 9, verse number 31, and verse 32 reads. Book of Leviticus 22, verse number 1 reads. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 9. They shall therefore keep my ordinance. If they bear sin for it and die therefore, if they profane it, I Yahweh do sanctify them. Verse number 31. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am Yahweh. Verse 32. Neither shall you profane my righteous name. I will be hallowed among the family of Israel. I am Yahweh, which hallowed.
Okay, go ahead to 33, Elder. You might want to throw it on in there now. 33.
Verse number 33. That brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Yahweh. I am Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Now go back to verse 9 again, Elder. So you hear what the Almighty is saying to Moses to tell Aaron to get to them children of Israel, to let them know some things. And what he's saying, verse number 9, Elder?
Leviticus 22, verse number 9. They shall therefore keep my ordinance. If they bear sin for it and die, therefore they profane it, I Yahweh do sanctify them.
So you see that? So when you don't keep Yahweh's ordinance, you got a death sentence over your head. See? So there's what there. The death sentence over your head. You know, listen, you're going to be judged according to what's written in this book. If you're not applying this book the way he passed it down, in Malachi 3, verse 6, he don't change. Hebrews 13, verse 8, he don't change. If you don't know what Yahweh's doing today, look back what he did yesterday. If he told him what you got coming yesterday, it's on the clock today. Keep this man feast day, Sabbath day, and it'll go well with you. See? So there's a doubt. So now I got to get a precept on that, Mother Eve. I need a precept on that Proverbs chapter 8. I need a precept on that. But you know, you're playing the musical game 12 cherubs and 13 people. When the music stops, somebody's not going to have a seat. So that means if you don't have a seat, you're going to the fire. So if you don't have a, seat in the kingdom, matter of fact, you know, give me that and show you exactly how it's going to be. Give me that Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9 and show you exactly how it's going to be. So you can know exactly what he's going to do, so you be clear that what we're saying to you is going to come back and judge you in the last days, these words. Keep that in your mind. We're going to put out Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9 and show you exactly how it's going to be. So all that going up, up and away, you're going to be out of here. All that's a lie from the powers of the Roman Catholic Church. You ain't going up, up and away. Christianity is a morphine drug. It's, you put that stuff in you, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, it's like that morphine drug puts you, they get ready to operate on you. And drip, drip, drip in there, it just puts your body in a norm, a position where it just like that pill. That's what Christianity do for you. We're going to show you exactly how it's going to happen, according to Nicodemus. See, Nicodemus, you know, he was hiding down a tree in the in third chapter. And he told Yahweh, I know you, you something else. He said, now, Yahweh asked, what can I do for you? He said some good stuff to him. Not that we'll bring him in shortly on Nicodemus. We'll bring up why Yahweh dealing with Nicodemus. I know it's not in the canon. But we'll let you know he went to the school of Yahweh shortly. Now, Mother E, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, Mother, let's see what is said here in verse number, Proverbs 8:36. And Proverbs chapter 8, Mother, 36. Because Yahweh is making it plain through this ministry called Yahweh's Voices of a True Israelite. Our job is to make it plain for you to understand something. You have to make adjustments according to this Bible. And in the 8th chapter, Mother, of Proverbs, it makes a profound statement around about verse 36. What do we say that we can read, Mother, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36? What does it say that, Mother E?
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
You see that, Mother? It said, you wrong your own soul. By you not keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments, you wrong your own soul. He said, you love death, and you're going to get it. According to what Yahweh just said. And now Paul pulled that verse, Mother, in 6:23 of Romans. He looked right at this verse right here and pulled it. He pulled that verse in Romans 6:23, and what did he say, Mother?
Okay. Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. Through Yahweh the Son, our Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying the price you're going to pay is going to catch up with you. I don't catch up with you. And, before you read that 9th chapter again, verse 1, and 32:23 of the book of you telling Moses. And Moses puts it in writing, and too many folks can touch on this, but you might want to touch on it, 32:23. Hey, yo, what is it saying in Numbers 32:23?
The book of Numbers 32, verse number 23 reads, Numbers chapter 32, verse number 23. Book of Numbers 32, verse number 23 reads, If you will not do so, you owe your sins against Yahweh. And be sure your sins will find you out.
He said, your sins is going to find you out. It's going to catch up with you. He said, be assured to know one thing. If you stand against your mighty one, it will catch up with you sooner or later. Huh? And catch up with you. That's one thing about it. It's going to catch up with you. Now we clear that the Passover is coming up. It's on the 14th day of the first month, Abel. At evening. So the night of the 13th, when the sun starts setting, that's when you know the Passover is on its way. Now, in the book, before we go to Numbers, let's go to Deuteronomy and find out a little bit more about that in Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Then we come back to Numbers, because he'll give you the only feast that he really give you a second shot at. It is the Passover. He'll give you, so that's how serious this thing is. He'll give you a second shot at the Passover. And so if you miss the rest of them, you just on your own. But he'll give you a second shot about the Passover in the 16th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Hey, Elder, what is there in 16, verse 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse number 1. And verse number 2 reads, Deuteronomy 16, verse number 1 reads, observe the month AB and keep the Passover until Yahweh your Yahweh. But the month AB, Yahweh your Yahweh brought you forth out of Egypt by night. Verse number 2, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh your Yahweh of the flock and the herd. In the place where Yahweh shall choose to place his name there.
Mm-hmm. And remember what we read over there. He made a final statement. He made a final statement. He don't want you to be thumbing around. So all these people having a Passover. And his name is not there at the Passover you have. He said he wants his name at the Passover. So you can't oil the water and say hold back the wet. So you gotta have his name at the Passover. So when you have a Passover, you gotta make sure his name there. Now, I'm struggling right now, but we just got to reading the verse over in where we read that verse at. And in Leviticus 22, number 9, look what the man said. Look what he said in Leviticus, matter of fact, read one just to make it sound good. Who's talking? And matter of fact, read two. Let's make a little meal out of it. Let's look at 22 verse 1, 2, and 9. See, listen. This is just all the things in 22, Leviticus 22, 1, 2, and 9. What say, yo?
The book of Leviticus, 22, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 9 read. Book of Leviticus 22, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, that they separate themselves from the righteous things, that they separate themselves from the righteous things of the family of Israel, that they profane not my righteous name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am Yahweh. Verse number 9. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, if they bear sin for it, and that. Therefore, if they profane it, I, Yahweh, do sanctify them.
Yeah. So this man telling Moses about a death sentence about not keeping what he got on the table. So what he got on the table, how you handle him. Now let's go back to that Deuteronomy again, Elder. But we don't start now. Now we clear that Yahweh means business about he wants you to have a feast, but he want to make sure that you got his name there at that feast. His name ain't no Lord God and Jesus and Jehovah. That's not his name. Him is titles from Satan the devil. That's not his name. So you understand something. That's Satan the devil in your mouth. Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah. You got to come clean with them four letters. That's the only man to get you some salvation. pronounced. So you have to make that adjustment and have the feast days and the Sabbath day with his name. You know? His name. So now in the 16th chapter there, yo, we're going back to 16 and we find out one thing. He said, you have this Passover, the flock of the herbs and the herbs, and the place where his name is at. And don't have it when you want to have it. Have it when I tell you to have it, and when I want you to have it in verse 6.
Because Deuteronomy 16, verse number 6 reads, but at the place which Yahweh shall choose, the place of his name is, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt.
You see that? The place where he got his name at. And you don't have a feast because you got the big collectors coming in, but they want to get in while they can see everything. You have your feast at 12 o'clock, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. No, you're doing your own thing. No, you got to wait. You got to wait till the hour has set in when the sun sets. That's when the feast day come in, and same thing about the Sabbath day. You can't have it when you get ready. You got to have it according to the Bible. A lot of the big camps having the feast days, their feast days at 12 o'clock and 11, start at 11 a.m. So you're doing your own thing. He wants you to do this feast with his name, there, them four letters, at evening, when, but going down the sun. And he said, not only that, in 11 and 14, I want you to do something else in 11 and 14. What did they want you to do in 11 and 14,
A.O.? Deuteronomy 16. Verse number 11 and verse number 14 read. Deuteronomy 16, verse number 11. Thou shalt rejoice before Yahweh your Yahweh, you, your son, and your daughter, and the manservant and the maidservant, the Levite that is within thy gate, and the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which Yahweh hath chosen to place his name there. Verse number 14, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feet, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, that is with, and the fatherless, and the widow, that are within your gates.
Mm-hmm. And it is always a reminder, what Paul understood about that reminder, that this thing is for real in 16 and 17, and the order of it down to verse 18. So 16 and 18 will tell us exactly what he wants to be done according to the heavenly tablets in 16 and verse 18. What it says?
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 through 18 reads, because Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, three times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of wheat, in the feast of tabernacle, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which he has given you. Verse number 18, judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which Yahweh giveth thee, throughout thy tribe, and they shall judge the people with judgment.
Mm-hmm. You see, not only that, you set up judges and officers. You set up judges and officers when you put this thing together. And that's what you do. Make sure you got judges and officers ready to take care of this business. Let's get a precept on that. And First King, the wisest man in the world, he peeped at that and peeped at that statement, and let's see what he did in the 5th chapter, verse 4 and 5 of 1 Kings. He said, now you make sure you set up judges and officers of right judgment. Set them up, Moses. Judges and officers. Now when Solomon, the wise man of the world, was on the clock, Pete way back over in Deuteronomy 16, and he wrote in 1 Kings 5, 4 and 5. What do you say, Elder? First 4 and 5.
Look at 1 Kings chapter 5, verse number 4. Verse number 5 reads, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. Now Yahweh, my Yahweh, has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring. Verse number 5. Behold, I purpose to build a temple unto the name of Yahweh, my Yahweh. And Yahweh spake unto David, my father, saying, your son, who I will set upon thy throne, in thy room, he shall build a temple unto my name.
I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more, y'all. Give me a little bit more. I need to know the verse out of that. What else you said?
Number 6. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 6. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar tree out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servant. Now to thee will I give hire for thy servant, according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto Sidonians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm missing something, Elder. I'm struggling right now. I'm missing me a good hit. He made a statement that he said when he was sitting his stand up, he made a profound statement, but right now I'm struggling on that statement he made. And let me see, can I repeat that? He said something about that statement. So I got to put a 216 of Daniels on it. Give me time, I come back with that. Because he said something, and I ain't seeing it. Because when he was sitting that thing up, he did something, pointing back to what we just got through reading. So my eyes have defaulted me on that verse. So what I got to do, I got to come back with that verse, because I ain't heard it read. So what I do, I put a check mark and write that verse down and come back with it. Now, just in case now, I always say you forgot to get off on your job and you forgot about the feast again. Oh, I forgot again. Oh, my goodness. I forgot to get off the job. But y'all want to say, you know what I'm going to do? Because you're going to allow them that going to pay the fears, no, never mind. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set up something by the mouth of Moses about concerning this feast that's coming up next week. I'm going to set something else up. I'm going to give them a second chance to get this thing right, because it's very important. Because this feast day is representing me. And we see Sister A.B. Princess Israel, look, I'm hollering that microphone a little bit too there, Elder. So we'll bring her in shortly. As a matter of fact, I'll have me the 5th chapter, 1-8 there, Sister A.B. of Phoebe. Have me 1 Corinthians 5, 1-8 waiting on me. Now, back to this 9th chapter, Elder. So Yahweh is going to give the children of Israel a second opportunity to get this thing right. But I mean, that this Passover is very important. But he's going to tell you something about this Passover out of the mouth of Paul when Sister A.B. of Phoebe, Prince of Israel, delivered in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 down to verse 8. Now, let's look at this thing, chapter of the Elder, in the 9th chapter. We're going to look at 1 down to verse number 6. What does it say, 1 down to verse 6? Come on. Numbers 9, 1 to 6.
Good numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse number 1 through 6 reads, Book of Numbers 9, verse number 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, that the family of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed season, verse 3, in the 14th day of this month at evening. You shall keep it in the in its appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. Verse number 4. And Moses spake unto the family of Israel, that they should keep the Passover. Verse number 5. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at evening, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the family of Israel. Verse number 6. There were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day.
And what did Moses tell them in verse number 8? What did Moses say to them in verse 8,
The book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse number 8 reads, And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what Yahweh will command concerning you.
Yeah. So he said, look here. He said, I don't know what to tell y'all on this right here, but I'll tell you what. Stand still. Let me hear what Yahweh got to say concerning you. That's what I'm doing. Just stand still a minute. He'll get back with me. How we know he'll get back with him? Let's get a precept on that elder in the 12th chapter. Get a precept on that in 12th chapter that Yahweh will get back with him very shortly. Let's see in 12 verse 8. Numbers 12 verse 8.
The book of Numbers chapter 12 verse number 8 reads, Numbers 12 verse number 8, With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses.
You see it? You see it? You see, look here. If I speak from Moses mouth to mouth, he ain't got to take no dream. He ain't got to take no vision. I'm going to talk to him straight up. Make sure this thing is on the clock, exactly what I want to be done, and come down to whatever I got written in this book. This is the way I want it to be, and that's the way it's going to be. In fact, I see a hit on something else that I got to get back with later. So now we're clear about that. That's what Yahweh said. So now he says, stand still. Let me see what Yahweh got to say behind you that you got an excuse why you couldn't keep that Passover. So Yahweh told him, I'll tell you what I do for them that got the excuse not keeping my Passover. Let's see what he told him to do in the 14, on the same 9th chapter, verse 11, down to verse 14. Let's not fact we take it straight on down and let him take you all the business on it. We'll take it on to verse 14. So Numbers chapter 11. 9, 11 through 14, what does it say there?
Book of Numbers chapter 9, verse number 11 through 14 reads, Numbers chapter 9, verse number 11 reads, The 14th day of the second month at evening, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 12. It shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bones of it, according to all the ordinance of the Passover. They shall keep it. Verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, if the same person shall be cut off from among the people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. Verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger, and for him that is born in the land.
And what does it say in verse 23?
verse number 23. Numbers chapter 9, verse 23. At the commandment of Yahuwah, they rested in the tent. And at the commandment of Yahuwah, they sojourned. They kept the charge of Yahuwah at the commandment of Yahuwah by the hand of Moses.
Hallelujah. So you see, they was well instructed exactly what to do, and it was to pass it on. Hey, Mother E, they was to pass it on, Mother E. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, let me see what this diapositive went to. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll get a precept on that, Mother. Deuteronomy 4, they supposed to pass that thing on there, Mother. You don't sit on this information. You got to pass it on. Give me 4:1 just to make it sound good at Deuteronomy, Mother E. What it say in 4 verse 1?
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh of your fathers give you.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say in verse 13 and 14, Mother? Verse 13 and 14.
Verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even ten commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Verse 14. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it.
Mm-hmm. And so he gave you a second opportunity to do this right here, Mother. And look what he said in verse 12, Mother. Look what this big man said in verse 12.
Verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude. Only heard his voice.
Hey, Mother, who voice did they hear in verse 12, according to the first line?
Yahweh's voice. Yahweh's voice.
Yeah? Okay, well, let's give a precept on that. That's big talk with them, Mother. Now, you got to get a precept on behind that one. He says Yahweh the Son talking up. So now we got a precept there, because, you know, WCC just dropped all across the streams there. Well, where they're there. So we got a precept there, Mother. Let's give me 537. Give me 537 St. John to make sure that we seal that deal, because you may have found sin, you put it out there. So let's precept that for the WCC, World Council of Churches, understand that exactly what you said, it can be backed up. And St. John 537. Back it up, Mother, 537 of St. John.
Look at St. John, chapter 5, verse 37. St. John, chapter 5, verse 37, read. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his face.
You see that? That's how you back it up, Mother. That's how you back him up. Let him bump the gun. Now hit him down. Now go ahead and get another right hook side to head in 46 and 47, the same chapter. Same book. Get down to verse 46 and 47. And that's called over lick side to head, Mother. So they step out there, you go put some book on them. 46 and 47 says what?
The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 46 and verse 47. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, what he wrote of me. 47. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my word?
So the one that gave you to keep the Passover the first time was Yahweh the Son. The one that gave you to keep the Passover the second time, if you mess up, was Yahweh the Son.
Right.
Yahweh the Son is the one that's telling the children of Israel, the Israelites, to keep the Passover in his season from year to year when the sun sets. That's Yahweh the Son telling you the same. And this is the one going to judge you. This is the one David came down and told Moses what he wants to be done. Because he read his part in the Bible that his father wrote. He said, oh, I got to go tell Moses about keep the Passover on the 14th day at evening. Now, Paul pulled that verse and we'll bring A.B. or Phoebe in. Sister A.B. or Phoebe Israel, by saying, Sister A.B. or Phoebe Israel. Yahweh Victory has been ready. A.B. or Phoebe, Princess Israel, Yahweh Victory has been ready.
Yahweh be with you, see Israel, see Royal. Hallelujah. Yeah,
that's what I say. I say Yahweh be with you. I want to return answer to that.
Oh, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, see Royal.
Hallelujah. Now look at a lot of day facts. Let's say, where is that at? Return answer. I mean, where is that? A.B. or Phoebe. Give me the book of Ruth for a minute. You want to know the turn, how you're supposed to meet and greet another Israelite descent? And the book of Ruth, it'll tell us something. You know, it'll tell us something in the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth, I'm struggling right now. I think it's around about 4 verse 12. It should give us why when you meet another Israelite descent bloodline, how you meet and greet one another. It's written. But I'm struggling right now, so I can take a shot at it. 4 verse 12. Is that close enough there?
Too close.
Say what, mother. Say what that mother is?
Too close.
What's that mother?
She said 2:4.
Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. I guess that's one, you know. I don't know.
Excellent, mother. All right. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4 there, Princess. Where's that? Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. Thank you there, mother.
Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. So that's why we meet and greet right there. Old Boaz of a tribe of Judah met the reapers. He said, Yahweh be with you. And they said, hey, Boaz, Yahweh bless you. So that is right there. That's why we meet and greet. Yahweh be with you in return out. Yahweh bless you. That is right there. So we can go on with that, but we're not. So now, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 5, 1-8. So now we clear that was Yahweh the Son that gave the order for the children of Israel to keep that Passover. Because when you're keeping that Passover, you're doing something that he gave the order. So now, for instance, what did he say we can read in the first, in Corinthians 5, 1 down to verse 8? Let's read a little bit and give me a little more audio out there, microphone there, come on. 5, 1 down to verse 8.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1-8.
I'll tell you what. Well, hold on. Just think about verse number 4. It's for time's sake. Let's go to verse 4. Think of verse 4.
Just 4?
Yeah, think of 4 down to verse 8.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4-8. Verse 4. In the name of our Yahweh the Son, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of Yahweh the Son, verse 5, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 6, your greatness is not good, and know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Yahuwah the Son, our Passover, is sanctified for us. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is truth, what is truth? 17:17, St. John. What is the truth that he wants you to keep? 17:17, St. John.
John, chapter 17, verse 17. John, chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Your truth, your word is true.
Mm-hmm. So the word is true. And who is this true word in 14, verse 6? Oh, St. John there, Francis. Who of this word is true? Who of this word got all this truth going out his mind? 14, verse 6.
John, chapter 14, verse 6. Yahuwah the Son said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm. So, that is the truth. So now, Elder, I was talking about that Nicodemus. Let's bring up Nicodemus in to make sure Nicodemus is, we know he's not written in the canon. We know we're clear about it's not written in the canon. But that don't mean that he don't exist. Because Nicodemus, you know, he was laying behind a tree in the third chapter of St. John there, yo. He was laying behind a tree. And it was some conversation going on. And let's see what he said that we can read. And to kind of make sure he's on the table. And we're going to find out what school that he went to be able to write a book. Let's see what we got. And St. John chapter 3, 1 down to verse 5. What do you say, 1 down to 5 there, Elder?
The book of St. John chapter 3. Verse number 1 through 5 reads, the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse number 1 reads, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Yahdah Judah. Verse number 2, the same came to Yahuwah the Son by night and said unto him, Master, we know that there are our teachers come from Yahuwah. But no man can do these miracles as thou doest, except Yahuwah the Father be with him. Verse number 3. Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahuwah the Father. Verse number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Yahuwah the Son answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahuwah the Father.
Mm-hmm. Hey, okay, so Nicodemus was hiding behind a tree, so he had a lot of questions, so Yahuwah gave him a lot of answers. So what did Yahuwah say to him after he bumped his gum long enough? Yahuwah let you bump his gums long enough. Then he going to respond to him in verse 10 down to verse 12. What did he say in St. John 3, 10 down to verse 12? What did he say?
The book of St. John chapter 3, verse number 10 through 12 reads, St. John chapter 3, verse 10. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verse 11. Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, to testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Verse 12. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you a heavenly thing?
It's how you don't believe I tell you a heavenly thing. But see, the heaven he was talking about, princess, is in Deuteronomy 11:20-21. That was heaven he was talking about. But they, that day and that Christianity look at that statement, oh, okay. He talking about, he won't know about some heavenly thing. But now when you preach up your Bible, in the 11th chapter there, A, B, and C, then, you look at the 11th chapter and you feel that deal about what heaven we talking about, that he's saying that you got to have, you got to get it right, not up and away heaven. We're going to look at a statement in the 11th chapter, verse number 1, and think of verse 21, and we see how other Elohim came on the scene. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring out other Elohim and let him tell you all about the broadcast and whatever Yahweh put on him to tell you about the broadcast. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, verses. Then let's get down to verse number 21 and see what we're working with.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1 and 21. Verse 1. Therefore you shall know, you shall love Yahweh your Yahweh, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Verse 11. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land.
Hold on. I said 21. I said, well, make it 22 and kick up the verse 21. Make it 22 and kick up the verse 21.
Chapter 11.
Yeah. Say about you read 1. Now read verse 22 and kick up the verse 21.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22. And 21. Verse 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love Yahweh your Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which Yahweh swear unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
Mm. So he swore unto your fathers to give you what land and where? Hey, Prince, what did he swear to the fathers, give them what land and where? According to the last verse in 21.
And 21,
mm-hmm.
Heaven.
Yeah, of course. What land did he promise to your fathers to give them according to the last line of Deuteronomy 11:21?
The days of heaven, yes. The days upon heaven upon the earth.
Oh, not up and away, huh? Not
no.
All, but they call it purgatory. Your loved one is halfway between the heaven and earth. No, he
right.
Didn't promise you that. See, that was a scheme that was picked up by a pope in the 6th century. He came over that scheme. And see, we held bent on leaving here, and they'll play on your emotions by telling you about, your loved one is halfway between heaven and earth. Now you say, halfway between heaven and earth now. But then this pope in the 6th century, and maybe one of you can pull that up about this old pope, Sextus, Xixtus, What did he do? Because he won invented this thing called, he invented it called Indulness. I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E-S. He was an outlandish and spent a lot of money. You know, so he said, look here, he got a couple of something. So Pope Sixtus, S-I-X-T-U-S, the Sixth, he put out a decree about this thing here, and he came up with this word called Indulness. I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E. You can pay your way to heaven. You can pay your way up into heaven, and if you got enough, and then not only that, he had a bank to finance him. It was a bank called, I ain't going to say the name, because I know I get more calls on, you said his name right. Than anything, so I'll tell you what, I sell his name to you. This is the bank that received all that money that they was collecting, and he was giving that interest out on it. His name is C-O-S-I-M-O, and his last name was M-E-D-I-C-I Bank. It was a family bank. So when Pope Sixtus, you know, when they come over there, he said, look, I got to have pay for his money to go. So that's where he come up with his word called, and now you got the thing called, you can get your marriage. M-E-R-I-T-S. So you can buy your way. Now, the more you put in, the more we can get done, and the more your parents can get from halfway between heaven and earth. They stuck up in hell somewhere now. So you can buy all these marriage, the treasure of marriage, M-E-R-I-T-S. You can, and that we have that can be sold not just for sinners, but committed by, and now the people can get off into it. So you can get this, we'll check it on another lesson. But one thing about it, this is the Pope that invented that halfway to heaven thing, and all the way up to the 13th Pope that really worked this thing over. And this bank right here was the one that financed this project. So now when you go and stand in front of that Pope and say, Father, I have sinned. And then Father tell you about your I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E money. Now you get that money together, and you and get your the treasure of marriage together, M-E-R-I-T-S. You know, you can get your money right, and then all of a sudden, the more money you put in now, the more you can get your parents from stuck in the middle of hell is purgatory. Now I know you want your mama to stay in hell, do you? No. They get that, they get much marriage you can get in the treasure of marriage. And get your I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E-S, give me as much as you can, and we'll take it from there. So you see, that's where that comes from. But that's why I just told you, your heaven is on earth. But the Pope from the state of the devil's heaven is up in the way. So when you put up in the way, you know that's not coming from Yahweh's book. It's coming from Satan's devil imagination to you. Got it? Good. I don't believe our elder here, we'll come back. Well, our other elder back in that Nicodemus 14, 1 down to verse 9, let's see what our elder got to say and what Yahweh put on him on take number 32. And let's see what's going on. So we meet up, Elder, Mr. Tell of Israel, by saying, Elder, Mr. Tell of Israel, Yahweh be to their seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, seed Israel, the seed royal. I will move.
Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Well, one thing about it, the fox can't have been lit and the curtain of hell went up. So it's take number 32, so we have the Almighty put on you to tell this national order. You take your time there, Elder. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahuwah bless you, see as well. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And as you all hear me say, it's always a great pleasure to be among the cast of over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And that's always a good thing. Thus, the words that we give do soothe some and do anger others. It's a shame. I know that, like today, when I was working on some stuff that I have to bring back to the temple, there was some Hispanic people that came by and asked a question. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Well, it kind of shocked me at first to hear that. Am I sure I know what I'm doing? So after talking with them for a bit, it seemed to me that they figured just because I was Judah, I said so we understand it this way, but the ones that don't, just because I was black, that I didn't know what I was doing. But after they found out what my hand ministered is what my voice explained, they said nothing more. They just turned around and walked away. Now, I thought to myself, if that doesn't remind me of a Pharisee, I don't know what would. Because when you have other people that are listening to those that are putting you down for what you don't know, and you prove that you're right, well, to me, that makes me feel more right, because I've already proven what I said was correct, and everybody else see that it was right also. I had to think about a verse in Ephesians 4, chapter 28, chapter 4, verses 8 to 31. Put that out there, see what you think of it. 28 says, let him that soul still no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. 28. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 30. And grieve us not the righteous spirit of Yahuwah, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 31. And let all thy bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, some people walk around with that in their mind, and it doesn't show until they open their mouth. Well, this is why the word of Yahuwah makes you strong. Because we all know that there is a history of the world past and the world present. And you have to know our history starts from our birth to our death. That's all we have to go with. But those who fail to learn history correctly, they're soon to repeat it. Those are the ones that are simply doomed in this world and the world to come. Yeah, it's bad to look at it that way, but that's the way it is. Because you know that it told you in 2nd Esther, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. 7 says, the entrance death was now set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left, deep water. And only one path between them both, even between the fire and water so small that could only one man go there at once. So we want to stay on that correct path. Because you always hear me say in every broadcast that a teacher can't learn from his students. And why is that? Because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he even gains more experience by teaching. However, a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And it shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because all of us, we came to hear things in the Bible that most of us hear, and some listening, they never understand. But this is what Yahuwah's ministry does, makes all this misunderstanding very possible. We have many that came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching, and some looking can never find them. These are the misinformed. They can do none of these things that we do. This is why the words of Yahuwah that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And that key word is the righteous. Because if you're not right, Yahuwah is not going to give you his word. And he's not going to create unto your remembrance what you should say at the right time. That's a true fact. Because you have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given this knowledge to know. We have many out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings, and sometimes using overly loud bump-the-drums contests for their method of righteous learning, and even trying to turn the Bible scriptures around as verbal weapons against us that know. Thus, we have to remember, the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come to teach them the way to go. Because when we bring you this program, we have to remind you, it's the non-righteous job to lead you astray. And they're doing their job very well, even trying to teach with lost and confused understanding like I went through today. But this is the reason why we're strongly here to help guide you through these dark times of loud pump of gums for righteous learning and wrong-taught Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. We come to you live, hoping to hear always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahuwah's Word, which often we're even questioned about that. How can you guys get this much information from this one book? And when you attend this class, you know it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahuwah, your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more we get from this one book. And this is the reason why you have not and came to seek this information and have now found it in the voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you on the normal days of 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, as most of us know. But we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Last time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members decide to leave. We also have a website address. Use this on any search engine, any one of your smart devices. Look for tribeyahdah.com. And after clicking it, once again, which is important, look for tribeyahdah.com/Israelites. Doing this will take you to a big line where you will see some choices. One of those choices will be tithes and offerings. To use this, step one, click donate with PayPal. The next step, step number two, click send. Any of the amount you wish to send, and there's a message if you'd like to include. It's done. May Yahuwah bless you. Doing this, remember also what's told us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah for you tend to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah God is your forgiver. And also the donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Dossier's Yahuwah live. Also for building the school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Although Yahuwah. Also while there, check out our calendar, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program, which is a feature during our broadcast time. To get there this time on that search line, type three words, which is Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on look for Voices from the Trizolites, Tribe of Yada. And click the red live button as soon as it appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first, which we know, is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579, which is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, only a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. By calling the same number, you can also order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. And this is something that's currently available if you inquire. On another note, please do not contact the seer, your email, phone, or text before broadcast. For this, he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, announcing many numbers that most of us have seen, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear the discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. In doing this, just enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, and choose the program you are logging into for any previous day on the list that you would like to listen. And another note, we're also broadcasting our broadcast simultaneously on Peloton, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. Even nowadays, that's smartphones. Just make sure you have downloaded the Peloton app. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the Truth, like Brother Jada. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants. Yahuwah's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Seals Israel, along with the Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two test questions answered at a time. And if broad talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But that continuing reminder that I usually give, when we are given the scriptures to speak by the seer, remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. So we have to be careful about making worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible. But as readers, make sure we make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. So we'll end our comment with Ecclesiastes 3:7, which says, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And our time for speaking about the word of Yahuwah begins now. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right there, Al. You know, listen, give me a couple of verses for you. Give me a couple of verses while you see up this Nicodemus 14:1-9 by the elder. Give me that Romans, Mr. Tibbs. Give me that Romans chapter. Let's build this up for a minute. In Romans chapter 5, verse 14-16. And 18-19. Let's see if we build up to get to Nicodemus 14:1-9. Let's build it up and see exactly what happened according to Paul telling the northern kingdom exactly what caused our problem. how we got in it and how we're going to get out of it. And we see also Mother D of Israel on the line, so we'll bring Mother D of Israel in to give me that Revelation 21, 1 down to verse 3, 10 down to verse 12. So, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, what is saying Romans chapter 5, 14 through 16, 18 and 19? What is saying to him?
Okay. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, reading 14 to 16, skipping to 18 to 19. 14 says, nevertheless, death resided from Adam, to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one may be dead, much more the grace of Yahuwah, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Yahuwah the Son, has abounded unto many. 16. And is not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift of the judgment that was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon to all of them unto justification of life. 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Excellent. So we found out one man got you in this thing and one man gonna get you out of it. So that's exactly the way it is. One man got you messed up. One man was given laws, statutes, and commandments. He didn't keep them. And one man that came down here and paid his price for you, but he ain't going to pay his price no more for you. He going to be sitting back on the sideline saying some good stuff. So we bring in more D of Israel. So now we clear that one man messed us up. One man messed us up, and one man going to get up out of this thing. So now we better look to this man real carefully, because we found out this one man is the one gave Moses the Passover. And Mother Eve precept that and found out that one man was Yahuwah the Son. So I think we need to listen to him a little bit more plainer. So Mother G of Israel, another one of the Moses out of Camp 1, Yahuwah be to their seed right.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Mother D of Israel. Well, Mother D of Israel, we clear that one man messed us up, and one man going to get us out of this thing. So now John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's in prison. So Yahuwah had to put him in prison. And so he put him in prison, and 1 verse 8, 9, and all that good stuff in Revelation. He put him in prison to tell him exactly how this thing was going to be. He said, now look, God, you're in prison. You're in a penitentiary now. But this is how it's going to be. And I'm going to send my angel down and tell you exactly how it's going to be, because you got some going to come and tell you that you can Mr. Tim, look up that word for me and define that word for me. Indulness. INDULGENCES. Look up that word and tell me when you got it. You say hallelujah for INDULGENCES. I need that word looked up and look up the word, the definition of purgatory. P-U-R-G-A-T-O-R-Y. So take a look at them two words there, Elder. When you got it, it says hallelujah, blah. And we gonna deal on something because see, it's time now for some things to be revealed. And Yahweh's voice of the Israelites, we have a mission to reveal things that have been hid from your eyes. So Mother Day of Israel, so we know John is on the Isle of Patmos. We know he locked up in a penitentiary. And so now the angel took his time and looked him eyeball to eyeball and said, look, John, are you the man of the hour right now, John? He said, yeah. Well, then you put down what I tell you to put down. 21, 1 down to verse 3, 10 down to verse 12, Mother Day of Israel, deliver. Yes, 1 down to verse 3, 10 down to verse 12. What did it say there, Mother?
1 to 3 and skip down to verse 12.
10 down to 12.
10 to 12. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 3.
21 verse 1.
21
verse 1. 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 3. Read. I said Revelation 21, 1 to 3, and 10 to 12.
Hallelujah.
10 to 12. 1 to 3, to skip down 10 to, through 12. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the righteous city, New Judah, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Yahweh. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a greater and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the righteous Judah, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. Verse 11. Having the greatness of Yahweh, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
So Mother, the name of 12 tribes of Israel ain't none of their names called Christians. So ain't none of their names called Christians, so it ain't gonna be no gate for a Christian. So those that up on the the banner called Christian when it's all said and done. It ain't no gate for you, Christian, Islam or Judaism. So that's why we come humble, to let you know we're not anti-anybody. But when you're dealing with these words called purgatory and what that other word I said a minute ago, and we get the definition of it sooner or later. You got the Damascus on his knee there.
Making sure the spelling, it's I-N-D-O-L-E-N-C-E. I think I heard that.
Yeah, I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E-S. I need that word, and I need purgatory, P-U-R-S-A-T. I mean G-E-T-O-R-Y. Because, see, it was a Pope Sixth in the 1400s, around about 1457. He came up with it, and he got financed by this bank, Casino, C-U-S-I-M-O-M-E-D-I-C-A, I-C-I Bank. That bank might be still existing today because all that money, I know they grandsons kept that bank open because he brought all the money to that bank, and they the ones pulled that money down. So I know that was done in the 1400s. I believe that bank is still there today because all that money that they brought in, and that's why you see all these great cathedrals and everything else, because these two things that this Pope, he put this together in the 6th century. Matter of fact, it was 1476 when Pope Sixtus, S-I-S-T-U-S, the 6th, he came up with this good scheme and got a bank to help finance him. That thing is still going on right now. So you got any information on this word that we need for I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-S-E-S. They're elder.
I-U-N-D-U-L.
G-E-N-S-E-S. You got anything on that elder? We can get it again.
Yeah, I just try to make sure of the spelling because it sounds a little different when you spell that. I-N-D-U-L.
Indonis. They call it Indonis. I know. I get more calls on, hey, Steve, you butcher that word up. I know I butcher the word up. But I tell you one thing, that we're going to look at a verse. Hey, Princess. What it says in the book of Mark 4:22 there, Francis? Mark 4:22?
Mark chapter 4.
Yeah, what it say there, Francis, in 4:22?
Mark chapter 4, verse 22. For there is nothing led which shall not be manifest.
There's nothing hid which shall not manifest.
And neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad.
Yeah, read that again. Read it again. Read that 4:22 again. Repress and read that again, 4:22.
Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, and neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad.
You see, ain't nothing hid is not going to be revealed by Yahweh's voice ever to his life. See, we don't reveal exactly what's going on, because you right now, we got a lot of our loved ones, they all up in the Catholic Church, and they very heavy on this this Indulgence, INDULGENCES, that was invented by Pope Sixtus in 1476. He came up with that and got a big bank back in the day. I bet that bank probably still, there's no way in the world all that money paying that bank probably still exists now to his grandbabies. MUDICI Bank, or Castillo Bank, I bet that bank still exists. I know they had one of them grandbabies kept that bank open because he'll bring all that money into that bank. We'll find out if that bank still exists today. Because the Roman Catholic Church still exists today. So I know one thing, they put that money somewhere else besides build all them cathedrals. So now, Elder, you got some of that word, Elder?
Well, I'm not sure if I got it spelled right. I'll spell it again. And if you say Hallelujah, I know it is. It's INDULTES, is that correct?
No, G. G is in good. GENCES. And don't get pronounce that word there, Elder. Elder, pronounce that word for the national order, because I know them all over the place. Elder Yada, pronounce that word. Indulgence.
I believe it's pronounced indulgences.
Indulgences.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Well, without looking the word up, indulgence is what you involve yourself in, the art of being involved.
Well, we're going to look it up for the national audience, because we want them to hear what this word, what was set up by Pope Sixtus in 1476. Because he came up with it, in fact, had the bank. I got a strange feeling, this bank. Hey, y'all got this bank right here is still in circulation today. MEDICA Bank. Let's see if that bank still, that family bank still going on today. Because ain't no way to wear all that money all of a sudden not disappear. The Catholic Church ain't disappeared. So see if that bank still is holding all this money.
M-E-D-I-C-I-B.
You got some of that word?
No, I certainly don't.
Hey, you got some of that word?
Yeah, I got a little something on that, sir.
Hallelujah, God. Bring that word out there, yo. Bring that word out. What is this INDULGENCES? What that word mean? That the Catholic Church, especially the Northern Kingdom, they all up in this word over here. What that word mean at all for the national audience?
I'm looking at the online encyclopedia, and it reads, indulgences. The word indulgence, Latin, indulgentia, from indulgio, to be kind or tender, originally meant kindness or favor. In post-classical Latin, it came to mean the remission of a tax or debt. In Roman law and in the Vulgate of the Old Testament, Isaiah 61:1, it was used to express release from captivity or punishment.
Uh-huh. So this word, pronounce that word again, Elder.
Indulgences.
So when you sign behind the confession book and you give your confession about what you have did, then you have to do this in Say that again, I held him.
Indulgences.
And it goes into the treasure, and it goes into the treasure of merit. Look up that word merit. So now once you come up with what you're going to give to the priest, you used to, this is what they used to do back in the day. You used to give 20 Hail Marys to the Father, you know. But he said, no, I've got you for a debt. All this giving these Hail Marys, that ain't going to cut it. I got to get some of this money. So now this Pope says in 1476, no, I got to get some of this money. And this thing over here got to go for those that's parents that's even one that sinned against the Catholic Church. He said, if you sin against the Catholic Church, you know you don't sin. Like, for example, you remember the guy called Machine Gun Kelly? You know, they got an old move back there. He killed people with his machine gun. And he go right over to the Catholic Church and tell the old priest of what he done did. He said, son, you don't sin real good. How many did you shoot up? Oh, I just took my machine gun. I just really kind of went to town. Well, you know, you gotta really do some good stuff now. Get to the treasure of marriage. Now, what that treasure of marriage mean, now, Elder? Treasure of marriage, merit. What that mean? The treasure of marriage. Treasure of marriage. And it's count towards your pittance. P-E-N-A-N. Mr. Tim, look at this word right here. P-E-N-A-N-C-E. Look up that word right there, because this right here goes against, you know, your pittance. P-E-N-A-N-C-E. But your money goes to the treasure of marriage. Now, what are they trying to say? What do you mean by the treasure of marriage? See, whatever's been sealed, it got to be revealed. That's why we on the airways 6 nights a week. And we don't know what Yahweh wants to reveal to us. So now we know that getting a indulgence from the church counted toward your pittance. Now, P-E-N-A-N-C-E. Give money to help the church build cathedrals. So you wonder why every Catholic church, I mean, it's so big, it's roomy, got all the space that it needs. Now, we find out right now, because everybody there that's a member of the Catholic Church, they got to come before them and say, I am sin. And then you start getting things prepared. And that's how they build these big old cathedrals, through your P-E-N-A-N-C-E. So what is that treasure of marriage there, Elder? What is that, Elder?
Looking at the treasury of merit. Treasury of the Church, the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, the treasury of the Church is an infinite value which can never be exhausted, which Christ merits and before God. They were offered so that the whole of mankind could be set free from sin, attain communion with the Father, and Christ the Redeemer himself, the satisfaction and merit of his redemption exists and find their efficacy. This treasury includes as well the prayers and good works of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They are truly immense, unfathomable, and even prescient in their value before God. In the treasury, too, are the prayers and good works of all the saints, all those who have fallen in the footsteps of Christ the Lord, and by his grace have made their lives holy and carried out the mission the Father entrusted to them. In this way, they attain their own salvation and at the same time cooperating and saving their brothers in the unity of the mystical body.
Yeah. So you can get good marriage. So now you your good marriage is how marriage, MERRIT. It just how much is you willing to go the distance, you know? You know, the more you put in the treasure of marriage, it counts towards your PENANCE. So the more you do now, so you can go out there and sin, you can do everything that you want to do, as long as you understand that you gotta bring some to the treasure of marriage and count it towards your PENANCE. You got that, Elder? Who got that? What is count towards your PENANCE? Who got that?
Here's the definition of penance: voluntary self-punishment inflicted as an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong.
Mm-hmm. See, the old seal be looking right at the whole house, but see, he likes to act like it makes him good, excited. But all this right here, if everything's sealed, it got to be revealed now. That's the point we're trying to tell you. That's why we come humble, is to wake you up, especially your northern kingdom. Because the northern kingdom is in this thing big time. And they count toward they really count toward a PENANCE, the Northern Ten Tribe. I mean, they big time in this. So can we get a definition of what that word means? For the
I
national
have.
Is over. You,
I
you,
have.
You got it, ABF? Come on, ABF.
Here's the
come on, deliver, ABF.
Voluntary.
You're getting that knockabout.
An outward expression of repentance for having done wrong.
It says, repentance is a voluntary self-punishment inflicted as an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong.
Oh, the wrong means sin.
Yes.
That means if you curse somebody out, you don't stand against them, then they give you opportunity to get your money right. Yeah, they give you opportunity to get your money right. They come before the priest
to confess your sin.
To confess your sin. Yeah. So they'll tell you, well, since you sin, you that ain't no little small sin you done did. So you really gotta make us pretty happy on getting your sins released. So get. Count towards your penitence, PENANCE. See, bro, we don't want your 20 Hail Marys. You know, we don't want your 20 Hail Marys. We don't need that right now. We need some of this PENANCE to get you to put out your certified of your endonors. See, we want you to stack up and have this stuff waiting on you because, like I said again, by you putting that money in, it'll keep you away from being put in hell. Mm-hmm. That was a great fundraiser. And that fundraiser is going big time today. So sometimes you wonder, why you see every Catholic church gets big, got nice, pretty seats in it, nice and comfortable, and it's got plenty of space and good heat and everything. Because of Israel. That was invented in 1476 when Pope Sixtus realized that the market for endonors don't need to be confined to those millions who was alive and sinners, but endonors can be intended to those multiplied millions who already left the land in the land and now want to get ready for purgatory. So now, you know, like your parents passed, right? Your loved ones passed. What's the definition of purgatory now? Let's get some purgatory on the table. Who got me? Got, hey, Ella, y'all got that? Y'all got me some purgatory? What that mean, purgatory? Purgatory. What that mean? What do purgatory mean? Because, see, the priest gonna tell you behind the thing. Oh, my. Look at your loved one. You know where they at now. Where my loved one at in purgatory? Yeah? What that mean? Let's see what one of the elders will come up with what that mean. We looking at what it means, but we want to act like it's really surprising us what purgatory means. Purgatory. P-U-R-G-A-T-O-R-Y. What that mean,
I'm looking at the online dictionary Oxford language, and it reads, in the Roman Catholic doctrine, a place or state of suffering inhabited by the souls of sinners who are expiating their sins before going to heaven. All her sins were forgiven, and she would not need to go to purgatory.
You see that? You see that? And this was invented in 1476 when Pope Sixtus VI, he came up with that, and he had a bank to finance him. Do that bank exist today? I mean, I know one of the grandbabies got to keep that bank open. The bank called MUDICI Bank. It's called Castillo Bank. Is that bank still? That bank has to still be here now because you know in the world, I know they kept one of them grandbabies kept that bank open. If that bank exists now, MEDICI Bank.
I'm looking at the Medici Bank, M-E-D-I-C, on Wikipedia, free encyclopedia. And it reads, the Medici Bank was a financial institution created by the Medici family in Italy during the 15th century. It was the largest and most respected bank in Europe during its prime. There are some estimates that the Medici family was, for a period of time, the wealthiest family in Europe. Estimating their wealth in today's money is difficult and imprecise, considering that they owned art, land, and gold. With this monetary wealth, the family acquired political power, initially in Florence, and later in the wider sphere of Italy and Europe.
You see that? So you see that? So you see that this bank right here is the one that Sixtus, Sixtus, that's when he got his money. He said, okay, this is a pretty good scheme you got going on here. Yeah, I helped finance this. He said, we're going to put up, remember, at the time of the 1400s and the 1500s, all the Bibles were taken over by the Roman Catholic Church. They had it in Latin, from Greek to Latin. So it was the Latin book. And most people did not have no book until basically King James came over in 1611. So you have to take their word for it, Latin read, based upon what the big king said, based upon you interpret the book for them. We read that yesterday. You interpret the book for them. Tell them to come in and hear the word in Latin, but let us interpret the word for you. See? So that's what they did. They interpret the word for you. And that was going on right there. So now we see that this bank still exists today. His family still, and they're getting that great big interest off of the Catholic Church. Then the Catholic Church, they tax you for it, and then they'll send the money to this bank, you know, and they'll get their interest off of you and stuff like that. So they got that going on today. So that's going on today, you know. Don't you go to your confession booth? Don't he tell you how much you got to, you know, make it, you know, make it worth the sin that you did? I mean, you know what you did, and you know you are a famous athlete, so we know your contract is real big. So now, look here, you got to come clean. So, you know, those that got, especially the movie stars, remember, the majority of the movie stars and the athletes, they all Catholics too. And they part of this right here, and they come in and they give them nice bucks. That's why they got so many Catholic church, got so many cathedrals. And then if anybody pays, you can buy your way from purgatory. You know, you can buy your way. You ain't got to go.
I see it.
Yes, sir.
I see it. Yeah, I got a little bit more information on that Medicare Bank.
Okay.
I'm reading from PBS online. Quote, and it reads, the Medicare Bank created a lucrative partnership with another medieval power, the Roman Catholic Church. And what had to be one of the most ingenious enterprises of all time, the Medicare Bank collected 10% of your earnings for the church. If you couldn't pay, you faced excommunication, a one-way ticket to hell.
Ain't that something? Read that again, El. Read that again, El. So you see, we look, I keep telling you, we're not anti-anybody. We're just trying to wake up the children of Israel to understand something. We know 95-99% of the children of Israel, the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, Latinos, and Peruvians, which really is right. They all hook, line, and sinker on being a Roman Catholic. Do you understand that was number the plot right here by Pope Sixtus, Sixtus, and he teamed up with this bank. And his bank said, this thing here, this looks pretty good. We all can work this thing even to this day. And that's what they've been doing today. So now, if this was invented by him, the kingdom of Yahweh is coming back down. Matter of fact, I'll read, hey, Mother E, read that, Mother E. Give me the 14th chapter of St. John 1 and 2. See, the kingdom is coming down. Yeah, St. John 14, 1 and 2. And you've been told that your parents is halfway between, and you want to get them all the way up and away. We read the end time prophecy that the kingdom is coming down. And now, Yahweh to tell you something plainly, before he went up and away to third heaven, he told the followers, disciples, plainly, exactly what he was going to do in the 14th chapter, St. John 1 and 2. But you're not going to pay him no never mind, right? What is it saying, 14, 1 and 2, there, Mother?
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 2. Let not your mind be troubled. Ye believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3.
Yep. Go ahead.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also.
See, that's probably my mother, that I'm coming again. So he's going to bring this place down to you. We're not reading the 21st chapter of Revelation when he brings his plague down to you. But you is going to be paying purgatory. I mean, you'll be paying for purgatory. You're going to be getting your indonis and this Majesty Bank, Castillo, Majesty Bank family. They made a meal out of it. It's the shoes. We ain't got to go no further. Let's keep this bank open. So the Catholic Church going to get the money to us. Now, and everybody that to be a member, you got to pay this. To be a member of the Catholic Church, you got to pay your way. You got to pay into the treasure of marriage. And you got to count towards your penance, P-E-N-A-S-C-E. Because we know you're on sand. Every Sunday you have been on sand. You know, every Sunday you out of money every week. Every time you go there on Sunday, you're sinning. Good. Especially your children of Israel. Hey, read that, Princess, 24th chapter, verse 1 and 8 of Leviticus. 24, verse 1 and 8.
Leviticus. You said Leviticus?
24, verse 1 and 8.
Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 and 8. Verse 1, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continuously, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm. Every Sabbath.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
You see? So, the Sabbath day is sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. Right? Hey, read that again about what the bank said again. Read again about what the bank said to the Pope. Got together with the bank. You know, the bank president, that family. And what did they say again, Elder?
The Majesty Bank created a lucrative partnership with another medieval power, the Catholic Church. It would have to be one of the most ingenious enterprises of all time. The Majesty Bank collected 10% of your earnings for the church. If you couldn't pay, you face excommunication, a one-way ticket to hell.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You see that? So you see?
Let me read a little bit more of this. It gets even interesting.
All right, go ahead. Take your time, Bill.
Say the Pope himself had a massive overdraft. And the Ministry of Bank became the most profitable business in Europe. By 1434, half the bank's revenue came from Rome. Brentwood was, in fact, little more than a mobile bank that followed the Pope around the world.
For the national audience sake there, go ahead and break that down so they can really understand exactly what was the plot about how the Pope and the bank got together and with this genius move. And that genius move, because sometimes you be wondering, all these Catholic churches so big. They got all that room in there, all that big old space. and they really, that must be really the law that's working them over, you know? But we find out now it ain't the Lord working them over, or, you know, maybe it's the Lord, but it ain't Yahweh the Son or the Father working them over. It's the scheme they came up with. So, let's talk about the scheme they came up with, and that's why you see they got the great seats in there, and hear about it. You can just thank all in the seats because of this right here. Go ahead, talk about it, take your time.
Read, the papal connection gave the Medici bank immense power. Soon everyone wanted an account with the Pope's personal bank.
You see that? So that's how it happened. So now you see how this thing happened. And that's why they got so much good riches going on. Because for you to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church, we know you're sinning. For every Sunday you're sinning because Sunday is the wrong day. So they look at you plainly. Hey, look here. You sin. Well, I ain't sinning. Well, you real sin. If you're here on Sunday, you're sinning anyway. That's contrary to the Bible. So you automatic on sin by keeping Sunday. That you, according to the Bible, you already on sin. So what you mean you ain't got nothing to put? You ain't got nothing to put up in here so we can build some more cathedrals and keep our medicine family, you know, skinning and grinning. We ain't got to go back, worry about going to more school. Shoot. As long as the Catholic Church exists, we exist. Because you got to be a member, and you got to pay this money right here. And then you got to pay, and you member. If anybody passed in your family, you don't want to be halfway between heaven and earth, do you? No. Well, they hit that, get that money together. And let us, you know, continue this thing forever. So you know how we all up in the Catholic Church, right? But you don't know the history. And we come to show you that this thing was invented in the 1476. That's where stuff come from. And the reason why they justify keeping Sunday, because they say something. Hey, Elmer Till, let me show you why they justify keeping Sunday. Acts 20 verse 7. Let me show you why they justify keeping Sunday. This is what they throw on you, and they get past you right there. What they say, Elder, in Acts 20 verse 7. Let me show you where they get you at, the Roman Catholic, the 10 northern tribes. That's where they get you at right here. 20 verse.
Okay.
You remember the letter we was reading yesterday? They said, look here. Teach them how to read, but don't teach them to understand what they read. Otherwise, treat them like a parakeet. Learn them how to read, but not to comprehend anything. You comprehend for them. That was Leopold King said, comprehend for them for Belgian interest. See, they go right in and they duke you up right here in 20 verse 7 Acts. Hey, but still, what is that in 20 verse 7?
The book of Acts, the 20 verse number 7 says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue his speech until midnight.
You see that? On the first day of the week, they came to break bread, and Paul preached to them. He talked to them. They used verse to them. That's why we keep Sunday. Because Paul, now you know the first day of the week is Sunday, right? Yeah. Here's Paul coming to preach on. No, Paul came to break bread. And anytime you understand the word of Yahweh, you automatically start teaching. Even at the dinner table, you start teaching about the Bible. No, he came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Because that was another day to eat. And while Paul had them all hemmed up, he preached to them. He talked to them. And they take this verse right here, and they take you to town with it right here. Give me a precept there, baby. Give me a precept. And 1 Corinthians 16. 1, 2, possibly three. Maybe give me a precept.
1 Corinthians chapter 15.
16. Make it 16, 1, 2, and 3. Give me a
precept. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection of for the saints, the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as Yahweh have prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Verse 3. And when I come, whosoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty unto Yahdah Judah.
You see that? Do they use that on you? Now, Paul saying, but what Paul really saying, Marie, you know what Paul really saying? Matthew 28, verse 1. What do you say there, Marie?
Matthew chapter 28, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, read. Matthew 28?
Yeah, verse 1.
Oh, we got to 27.
Yeah, 28, verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1, mother.
Okay, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the
So at the end of Sabbath. See, at the end of Sabbath on the first day of the week. See, they'll trap you up with that, mother. So they'll put that first day of the week on you, and that's why they keep the Catholic keep the first day of the week. But now preach up that to Mark 16, 1 and 2 in the closing statement there, mother. Give me Mark 16, 1 and 2 in the closing statement. Catch your mom, Sister Clark. Mark 16, 1 and 2. What's that supposed to mean? When you preach up the Bible, it gives you the answer. Mark 16, 1 and 2.
The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 2. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought three spices that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto this sepulchre at the rising of the sun.
You see, that's how you know, mother. See, look here. So that that Sabbath day, at the end of the Sabbath day, as it dawned towards the first day of the week. So the end of Sabbath day got to be a day before the first day of the week. See that? Come down Friday, come down Saturday. That's how you know. But they use these verses right here to hem you up. And the reason why we keep Sunday, first day of the week, because all the action happened on the first day of the week. No. The Sabbath day, at the end of the Sabbath, as it get ready to dawn towards the first day of the week. See, that Sabbath day is Sunday on Friday, Sunday on Saturday. But this is what the Catholic Church used to duke you up, and that's the reason right now you hell bent on keeping the wrong day. And you'll get wrong man and wrong woman's reward. So because you know, Sunday is the wrong day. And all these impentance and this fundraising thing that you pay to get yourself into heaven. And you can buy more money you put in, the more you can stand and all that stuff. Then you see where it comes from, and you see what bank they jumped on that. And I know they're in business right now. And they still jumping on that. See? So we're going to read about it shortly about exactly when Yahweh come down, where you going to before this lesson's over. So, Mother E, until tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Mother, what's your closing statement behind that, Mother? Come on.
Thanks and praise to Yahweh for the class. Thanks and praise to Yahweh for the seal, for the teachers. Thank and praise Yahweh for each and every one that's listening. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So, Ellen, Mr. Tibbs, give me that Romans chapter 16, verse number 17-18, the closing statement of Ellen, Mr. Tibbs. What is it that we can read in Romans chapter 16, verse 17-18, the closing statement of Ellen? What is that, Mr. Tibbs?
In Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." 18. "For they that are such serve not our Yahweh the Son, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the minds of the simple."
See what they do? By good words and twisting this book on you, they deliver up the mind of the simple. See what they do? And that's where they got you today. They got you going up and away into my three or 7 year rapture. And all that, and ain't none of that going to happen. And we'll show you before we close this lesson out. All right, Elder, but still, what's your closing statement behind that, Elder? Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless the seer, the mothers, the sisters, all that participated tonight in the word of Yahweh, and the listening people that came to receive the word and the blessings of Yahweh. Alleluia, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. So we find out that we read in the Bible there, it tells you not when you go make a confession of A, B, or C in the closing statement. When you go make a confession, you know they got a confession book. So where did they get that from? Let's find out exactly that confession book they are. They pull it, they always pull something from the Bible. But then they'll twist it, Mother. They ain't being feeded. They'll twist this thing, and Mother, T.F. Israel, have been nuked off the broadcast. I hear you, WCC. I hear you. Now, in the book of James, Princess, in the book of James, they make a profound statement about this confession book. And they took this confession book, and they used it, but they twisted it a little bit. Let's see what they did that we can catch them red-handed. Let's see if we catch them red-handed in the book of James. Let's see if we catch them red-handed, what they did. But I'm struggling right now, Francis. I'm struggling right now in the book of James, that in the fifth chapter of James, let's see what they got that from, this confession book from. let's tie this in what it really means, the confession book. James chapter 5, and let's think of it around verse number 13. Now, think of it verse 14. 14 down to 16, the closing statement there. Francis, what is saying James chapter 5, verse 14 down to verse 16, the closing statement? What is that?
James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahuwah. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Yahuwah shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I relinquish.
Isn't that? So that would get the confession book for Red Jail. But this talk about for the righteous, and this talk about the elders pray for the congregation of the children of Israel. They untuck this right here. And then something for you, they're going to get you, get them automatic. They got a seat already, leg of five. They're going to get you a seat, leg of five, too. Unless you come up out of there, my child. My money, that this teacher right here, this purgatory. And now you're reading, this way, the confession book comes from right here. That's where they get it from. Then they twisted it. See? They twisted it right here. Because they're not called elders. They called cardinals and pastors and popes. This is for the elders to pray for you. See? And you confess your fault one to another. But they got it now. You do a whole lot of things over there in the Catholic Church and help build their cathedrals. See that? It's up to you. Become humble. It's on you. Close statement out. First of Israel, you're on the clock. Come on. Come on, Princess. What's your closing statement here?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise before you on the throne above. We are families, chosen people, special ones, covered ourselves with the blood of Yahuwah the Son. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Yahuwah the Son, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. Who verily truly was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, the congregation of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. Verse 21, who by him, Yahuwah the Son, do, and Yahuwah the Father, that raised him, Yahuwah the Son, up from the dead, and gave him, Yahuwah the Son, righteousness, glory, that our faith and hope might be in Yahuwah the Father. Also rendering our minds and souls unto you fully and completely, believing in every area of our being, that we do, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in Yahuwah with all our mind, and lean not unto our own understanding. Verse 6, in all our ways acknowledge him, Yahuwah the Son, and he shall direct our ways. And I say hallelujah, Yahuwah, hallelujah, Yahuwah, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent. Now, Elder Yada Israel, now let's tie this thing in for take number 32 by looking at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and go right into Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9. Let's see what we got there, Elder, so we clear that some things is not going to open up, and they untwist this thing like Peter talks about in the third chapter. But 2 Kings 3:16-17 say what? El Yada Israel, come out.
The book of 2 Timothy 3:16-17 reads. The book of 2 Timothy 3.
Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, 3:16 or 1 Timothy, which one is it?
2 Timothy 3:16-17 reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
These scriptures give you the hope you need. Now, let me begin with Nicodemus. After Yahweh took him to school, look what Nicodemus said in 14:1-9. Hey, Ella, what he said in Nicodemus 14:1-9? How did that thing really happen? Let's see how purgatory, up over the way, how it really going to happen, according to Nicodemus in the school of Yahweh the Son in the 14:1-9. What did it say?
Book of Nicodemus 14:1-9.
Yeah, 1-9.
All right, okay, I get it. Nicodemus 14, verse number 1-9 reads. Book of Nicodemus 14:1. Adam called Seth to relate what he heard from Michael, the archangel, when he sent him to paradise to entreat Yahweh to anoint his head in his sickness. But when the first man, our father Adam, heard these things, that Yahweh the Son was baptized in Jordan, he called out to his son Seth and said, verse number 2, declare to your son, the patriarch and seers, all those things which thou didst hear from Michael, the archangel, when I sent thee to the gates of paradise, to entreat Yahweh that he would anoint my head when I was sick. Verse number 3. Then Seth, coming near to the patriarch and seer, said, Seth, when I was praying to Yahweh at the gate of paradise, beheld the angel of Yahweh, Michael, appear unto me, saying, I'm sent unto thee from Yahweh. I'm appointed to preside over human bodies. Verse number 4. I tell thee, Seth, do not pray to Yahweh in tears, and entreat him for the oil of the tree of mercy, wherewith to anoint thy father Adam for his headache. Verse number 5. Because thou canst not by any means obtain it till the last day and time, namely, the 5,500 years be passed. Verse 6. Then will Yahweh the Son, the most merciful Son of Yahweh the Father, come on earth to raise again the human body of Adam, and at the same time to raise the body of the dead. And when he cometh, he will be baptized in Jordan. Verse 7. Then with the oil of his mercy, he will anoint all those who believe on him. And the oil of his mercy will continue to future generations. For those shall be born of the water in the righteous spirit unto eternal life. Verse number 8. And when at that time the most merciful Son of Yahweh the Son, shall come down on earth, he will introduce our father Adam into paradise, to the tree of mercy. Verse number 9. When all the patriarchs and seers heard all these things from Seth, they rejoiced.
You see that? So Adam is going to be the one woke up and lead the family of man back to paradise. Give me Ezekiel 33:39-33. So you see, that's how it's going to happen. Yahweh is going to come down. He's going to get Adam out of the ground, raise him up, and tell him to lead your family that you created back into the kingdom. Play up on earth. Ezekiel 33, verse 39 to verse 33, held in the closing statement. Ask him again now. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel 33, verse 30 to 33 reads, Ezekiel 33, verse 30, also, thou son of man, the family of your people, still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses. Speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come up, pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from Yahweh. Verse 31, they come unto thee, as your people cometh, and they sit before thee as your people, and they hear the word, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their mind goeth after their covetousness. The town has a very lovely song, the one that has pleasant voice. But they well and are listening to them. For they hear thy word, they do them not. Verse 33. When this cometh to pass, lo, it will come to pass. Then shall they know that a seer have been among them.
Close statement, elder,
as
you begin on your part,
your
close statement now, come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. To the 12 tribes of Israel, scattered to the four corners of the globe, Yahweh be with you, and Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua. From the elders, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, young lions, and those on the international side. We're not anti-anybody. We pulled 12 tribes of Israel. We're not connected with anybody. But the Yahweh's voice of the truth is right. And sooner or later, the world must get up under Yahweh's voice of the truth is right. That's why we come to break down the Bible to the third point. Let you know, you got a seer in your midst. And sooner or later, you don't recognize a seer in your midst. And the job a seer must do is break down his book to make it plain you understand. The kingdom is coming down to you. It's going to wake Adam up. Adam and all the righteous are going to jump out of the ground and walk back over to the kingdom that they lost back in the day. That's how it's going to happen. That's good. So that's the way it be. So we'll catch all of you tomorrow at 9:00. So I said for the mothers, the elders, sisters, brothers, all on the international side, hallelujah, why? Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Shalom.